joining. Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel. My name is Ruthie C. Thanks for hanging out with us on this beautiful, beautiful Thursday morning. I am so excited to have my first show with Travis Thompson of Climatech of Air Professional Air. Good morning, Travis. How are you?
I'm good. You got it. Good job. We'll have to do another intro for you. They've still got the wrong name in there.
I know. And I do. It's so fun. I miss Bridget. I love Bridget so much. Every time I hear her name, I'm like, oh, Bridget. But yeah, that's all I know. We have been having so much fun here at the station, and I'm loving being part of the team and learning a lot of the ropes and getting to meet such awesome, cool people. And so I have the great pleasure of listening in of the last Climatech podcast, which is awesome. We'll also podcast this episode after the fact. And so tell me a little bit about yourself, about Climatech.
We are an air conditioning company that's been in town. My father actually, him and his brother started the business in 78. So I kind of grew up as a kid. This was our off time from school. We did air conditioning work with my parents. So mom, you know, was in the office and dad was in the field. And, you know, we spring breaks and summers and all that. We just been them working. So we got to know what we were, you know, kind of doing that way. And then as I got older, started becoming a bigger part of my life and a bigger part of what I did. And, you know, went to college, got out, got through college and decided I loved what I did. I really liked the air conditioning business. I like meeting new people every day. I like getting to, it's always something different. I never have the same day twice. So I really enjoyed it. So came back and started my own business, kind of separate and apart from his being Professional Air Pensacola. And then later on, we decided we put our companies together and merged them. So that's why the long name of Climatech of Professional Air. It was actually Professional Air Pensacola, and we merged it with my company, and that's where we're at now. So been doing a long time, been kind of through all of it. We do some commercial, do residential both. So we just kind of try to tailor ourselves to more of a, we're not trying to get out and do every home that we can. But we do like the custom homes. We like people that want it done right. We deal a lot with humidity issues and filtration problems and things like that. So that's kind of what we like to be our niche, that we like to handle as much of that as we can. And, you know, just be there for anybody else that needs us for routine service work.
You know, I think that's so cool that you guys had this family business going on. You grew up in it, and rather than maybe run away and shun that, you know, you came full circle. You're like, I'm good at this. This is important. I bet no one is ever sad to see the AC guy come in, especially where we live.
Only if we can't get it running that day.
Oh, hey, that's fair. That's very true. I have been without AC once or twice. Last summer it happened in my my apartment and my car in the same week. I was like, this
Ouch.
Is... In some places, this is inconvenient. Where we live, this is just not safe.
Right.
We gotta
no
get
joke.
That fixed.
Yeah. It can become a health concern. I mean, we've got some really, really bad humidity right now. Temperatures have come down just a tick, which actually felt nice. Last week, we had a few mornings that really felt good. But yeah, when it's 90 plus and the humidity is up there, it can be dangerous, especially in a really tight house.
Yes. And so, gosh, I know that humidity is something that is just, it's inescapable here, and it's part of life. It's part of your outfit every day. And so what are some of the things that you guys see through your work with Climatech where people need the most help?
Well, that's probably one of them, honestly, is humidity. I was speaking to an insulator this morning that, you know, he was calling this the sweat season. And not because of the human sweat, but we see a lot of things start sweating that may be a problem, or that you see only at certain parts of the year, like the grill sweating in your house. You may have grills that are dripping with sweat. A lot of times we see those grills in bathrooms doing it, especially. Humidity in the house, just staying higher than it should, staying above 60%. You're encouraging mold growth and things of that nature. So, you know, the humidity and the sweating is what we're seeing more than anything else. And that's a problem that we really like to deal with. It can sometimes be a headache. And even for us, I mean, you have to chase it sometimes, because what you wind up with is, even if your house, if your air conditioning system is doing a good job, anywhere that moisture can get in, it's going to come in, because if you've got a dry space inside and a wet space outside, it's just looking for a way in. And if it's coming in through an exhaust fan in a bathroom or a fireplace or a skylight or anything else that there's a crack in the envelope, it's going to come in. And the first cold thing it hits is typically an air conditioning grill, and therefore they start sweating. So a lot of times people think that the moisture is coming out of their grill, And it's really not. The grill is just the cold spot where the humidity contacts it. And just like if you set a Coke can down on your counter, it's going to sweat. Well, that water is not coming from inside the Coke can. It's condensating the air around it that's full of moisture. And that's what we see.
Wow. So I never one time thought about that. To be honest, this is coming from the outside. I'm one of those people, I like the door to be open. Don't ask me why. I know it's letting out the paid for air and all those good things. But so that could be the reason, you know, if we're bringing more moisture inside from the outside, then that's where it's gonna collect first.
And the cooler and the drier your air is inside, honestly, the worse that is, because the bigger difference you have in temperature and humidity inside versus outside, the harder that driving force is trying to get that humidity and heat into the house. So, you know, if you keep a house really cool and really dry and you crack a door, that grill just inside your front door will start sweating in a matter of a minute. It'll start condensating. And then if you leave it long enough, that condensation build enough, it'll actually drip. Yeah, I was with a gentleman yesterday that, you know, he's tired of shaving in his bathroom and the grill dripping on his head. And it wasn't after showers, but his bathroom fan, which is the exhaust fan right next to the grill, has hot, humid air coming backwards when the fan's not running, coming through that exhaust fan. And the first thing it hits is that cold grill right over his head. It makes condensation and drips on his head. So.
Oh, no, and then it's raining inside.
Yep.
And so we actually have a question coming in.
Sure.
And the question says, how does a newer system help with humidity? So is that something that a system could help mitigate?
It can. You know, the kind of the way it's evolved in the air conditioning business is a system is designed to cool your home in the hottest day of the year. So we got to have that system running in order to take out humidity. So when you get days where it's not super hot, that system may not run very long. So it's not taking out a lot of humidity, even though it's keeping the temperature down, it's not running long enough to take out humidity. Well, the newer systems, whether they be a stage system where it has two stages, like a medium and a high, where it can run longer, or even our new variable speed systems that run pretty well continuous, those systems are constantly pulling humidity out of the air. So instead of just pulling humidity out for a few minutes here and a few minutes there, we're pulling humidity out all day long. We get humidity down in the low 50s, sometimes the upper 40s. House is really, really dry. And then temperatures like 76, 78 feel really good, as opposed to, you know, somebody that says they got to get their house down to 71, 72 to be comfortable. They probably have a humidity issue. And those new systems that are variable speed or stage do a much better job with humidity control.
That is really good to know. I'm definitely a 71, 72 in the nighttime kind of person. So
right.
That might be something worth looking into. Another question we had come through is, I have a duct up in the attic that is sweating. Is that normal?
No, it's not. It should be that the insulation value on that duct is probably not quite what it should be, whether it be from a joint that did not get sealed properly or a joint that doesn't quite have enough insulation. Sometimes we even see where the ductwork gets pinched by other things in the attic, and that'll cause condensation, because insulation value is really the thickness of the insulation. So if you put an R6 insulation on something and you squish it, it's no longer an R6 insulation. So what happens is that outside barrier of that duct reaches dew point because it's in a super hot attic, and it really doesn't have to be that cold, not even cold enough you'll feel it. But once it reaches dew point, it's going to start condensating the moisture in the attic, and that's where you'll get the sweat. So I would imagine that, you know, it could be a deal where the air temperature is too cold, but that's not what I would suspect it. I would suspect it be the insulation value around that duct or something pinching it, something like that.
Well, I think that's great. Good advice. And I hope that is helpful. If you have a question and you like to call or text, please feel free. That's the number here is 437-1620. And I'm speaking with Travis from Climatech. And one thing, Travis, we were chatting about before the break was your team and how, you know, you've been doing this since you were a kid. This is a family affair. And how is that going lately? How's your team looking? What's your ideal team member for coming to the Climatech crew?
Well, your biggest thing is work ethic, honestly. I mean, it's a fun trade. I think it's a lot of fun. Most of our guys are pretty jovial. They're good. We have a good time with each other. Don't get me wrong. There's hard days where it's a lot of work, sometimes more than you really want. But, you know, on those days, you just got to get through it. But finding someone with a good work ethic that really just wants to be there and wants to do their job right, that's really what I look for more than anything else. And unfortunately, a lot of the trades are dealing with it just like we are. That's one of the hardest things to find. A lot of I think is built into a lot of our youth that, you know, they want a desk job or a computer job. And for some of them, that's perfect. But for others, you know, their talent, I kind of am a believer that you go with your talent. And,
yes.
You know, I'm not a desk guy. I don't like being inside. I have to be a lot running the business, but I like being in the field. I like using my hands. I like, you know, I don't mind if I'm hot and sweaty. But we find a lot of youth doesn't want to do that right now. Not all of them, because there's definitely some really good ones out there we found. But that's what we kind of – we get a lot of them that will come out of trade school almost with an unrealistic idea of what it takes to do this for a living. And that's sometimes the biggest frustration. But if you can get, you know, the kids that go through the trade school to have a good work ethic, those kids are great. They work out really well.
So that was going to be my question, was if you're, you know, looking at trade schools, I know we have some great programs here in our community. Mm-hmm. Even that, you think maybe some of those students might benefit from like a job shadow or
yes.
come and see. This
Absolutely.
Is a day in the life. This
Absolutely.
Is what it's like.
And we've done that for a few kids. And I told them, you know, I didn't have a choice. So it's hard for me to tell them what to do. When we got out for summer vacation, we got in Dad's truck. That just was our choice. So we didn't have a choice, and I didn't get paid, but I didn't know. I didn't care. We just learned everything. But to me, if someone was going to really take this serious and want to do it for a living, trade school is great. But follow that up with a ride-along. There are plenty of guys out there and plenty of companies that will be more than happy to let you come show up for work, ride along with them, help them out, get a real world environment of what's going on out there and what it takes to do this for a living. And then when you get through, you kind of know you're headed down the right road and you know what you're headed for. Because I think a lot of them get kind of a shell shock when they get out of school and then they're, you know, having to deal with customers and things like that. Because in the trade schools, we're teaching the actual trade, which is great. But we're in people's homes, you know, and we're face to face with people and have to have that side of our business that some of them I don't think quite understand. But that would be a great thing for anyone to do.
You know, it's so enlightening to hear this, because in my work with the Pensacola Young Professionals, one of the things we hear the most, whether it's the office job scene mm-hmm. or out in the field doing this type of work, is customer service skills, those soft skills, mm-hmm. communication, like that interpersonal piece. And I know in trade industries especially, it's hard when, you know, maybe you don't have a whole pipeline of the actual skill, like the
right.
skilled work with your hands, and then to find someone who can do that and also, you know, talk
yes,
to a person and
exactly.
like you said, come into their home.
You hit the nail on the head, because our industry, we're technical people.
Mm-hmm.
Our guys are technical guys. We want to fix something. And we probably, even men, get a bad rep about that. We want to fix things. And when we're talked to, we just want to fix it. Well, fixing things and then turning that off and turning on the personality to talk to the customer and relay to them what we want to relay to them in their terms, because we want to talk in our terms, but they don't, you know, and it's like a computer guy talking to a lot of people. They have no clue what they're saying.
It's so true.
So you have to have a way to kind of to talk where they understand what you, and you get to know what they want as well. Because we're so bad about wanting to go in and think, well, I know what's wrong. No, you really don't. You need to listen to the customer first and find out what fix their problem and fix their air conditioner. Sometimes you got to do both.
It's so funny, isn't it, too, where people think they know what they need. And even
yep.
if you know better,
oh yeah,
you
got
to be able to tell them, I hear what you're
That's
saying.
That's right.
I'm gonna take care of that for you.
We get that a lot.
So now, recently, with, you know, people have been going through some transitions, like
mm-hmm.
with their jobs and their, and maybe they wanted to, maybe it was kind of pushed upon them with the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
If someone was looking to switch, like if they have been
mm-hmm.
in some a desk job or something like that, and they were
right.
interested in switching over, would you have any recommendations?
Sure. I mean, I'm open to call me and I'll talk to them about any of it and give them as best recommendations as I can. There's several trade schools here in town, you know, but my first thing that I've told everybody I've spoke with about the trade schools is trade schools are great, but you really need to be able to do both. And understand when you get through a trade school where you're going to start in our industry based on your knowledge. because that's another thing that they need to really understand is where they're going to come out, and not have some high expectation of being in a pay range that's a 25-year technician coming straight out of trade school. So they need to understand that. And if all that fits in what they want to do, then it's great. And you can advance. There's so much information out there. You can advance really, really fast, but you do have to put in the extra work. And so many of them want it, but when the extra work's offered, I see a lot of guys that just don't take it. I mean, it's online. It's everywhere in the world now. You can learn all day long if you want to, but you got to put in that little bit of extra effort to get there.
That's so true. And that's just good advice in general, but especially for this type of skilled work that requires the customer service element as well. And you don't stay in business since 1978 if you're not really, really great at both.
Well, you do have to be, you have to listen to your customer, and the customer's right. And that's just something you've got to pound in your head, you know, and even if what they're asking you to do, like you said, may not be what they really want, they're still right, and you got to get to what they want and the system working properly at the same time, however you have to do that.
Right, and that is, there is an art and a science to both of those things. So,
absolutely.
So switching gears just a little bit to get mm-hmm. back to, you know, these awesome services that you offer, if someone was having some AC issues or they're, you know, concerned about their humidity, what is the best way to reach out, to get in touch, get your advice on those aspects?
Sure. I mean, our most direct thing is the phone. Our telephone number is 850-857-4700. You can contact us there. You can also reach us through our website, which is climatechproair.com. You can actually request service right there on the website if you'd like. Those are the best ways to get in touch with us. The phone obviously being the quickest, but either way is perfectly fine.
That's great. So 850-857-4700.
That's right.
That's the best place for people to call. I'm writing that down for the next time my AC goes out, which hopefully is not soon, but you just never know. And so in addition to like those kind of like sweaty ducts and what is the type of work that you see the most often? Do people in like Florida wait until summer and then their AC has issues?
Yes,
or?
Yes, that's definitely still the case. I mean, we recommend periodic service, you know, twice a year, having your unit checked out, cleaning certain aspects of it, making sure the refrigerant levels are proper, things of that nature. And that will ward off a lot of calls because honestly, the biggest two things we see are either an electrical problem due to a capacitor, contactor, or something of that nature, or an airflow problem. And a lot of times that airflow problem is from dirty coils that they just build up dirt over a long period of time. They grow mold on them, and the mold actually blocks the airflow as well. So when the airflow slows down, it doesn't sound that critical, but the airflow is very critical to all the other components in the system. So if we're putting in filters that are too good of a filter, that aren't sized properly, if our coil's getting dirty, if we've closed off too many supply vents in our house trying to push air to one side, all these things can cause some pretty big air problems, which will down the road cause some very drastic problems in the refrigeration part of your system.
Okay, so I just tuned into something very important you said about closing off those vents. Mm-hmm. So if I'm really trying to make sure my one little reading spot is not freezing cold,
right,
but I want the rest of the house to be nice and cool, so that might end up causing some issues. I didn't mean to, but down the road, my, you know, that airflow is...
Airflow is critical.
Where it all
and,
starts.
You know, one grill in an entire house is probably not going to cause you that problem. But the problem we see is, you know, so-and-so's bedroom was cool, so they close theirs. And the other bedroom was cool, so they close theirs. And you wind up with four or five of them closed. Now you've got possibly half the system closed off, and it just can't cram air in a duct system that wasn't built to have that much airflow through it. So it does wind up just reducing the airflow, and reduced airflow is probably one of the biggest problems that we see overall as a issue here locally.
Mm-hmm. And something else you said too, I'm trying to tune in on a new homeowner here, so I'm trying to make sure everything is good. About the filters,
mm-hmm.
do you have, my mom always says, get the cheapest ones, they work the mm-hmm. best, like they're going to, I guess it sounds like, you know, capacitate the most flow.
Well, it, you're right, and there's two totally different ways to look at it, and that easy flow is what we call them, that really cheap filter lets the most amount of air through. Unfortunately, it lets the most amount of dirt through as well.
So there's the catch.
Yeah, exactly. And those filters, if they're used properly, they can do a sufficient job. Unfortunately, most of them are sized too small. And what you run into there is a filter that is designed for a nice slow airflow coming through it so that it can capture the dust. When you make that filter too small, now the airflow is going twice as fast as it was supposed to, and the dust particles and things just fly right through the filter and they don't get caught. So that's kind of what we see the biggest problem in filters is the sizing of the filters. You know, you can use these HEPA filters and all that if you have enough size in your return air to do that. And it takes a lot of size to be able to properly run those high allergenic filters. So if we can get 3-4 filters, then we can run some of those high-end filters and do a really good job of stopping dust, and we get the airflow. But you can't just take a standard 24-inch wide, 12-inch high, and throw a HEPA filter in it. You've just choked your air conditioning system completely.
Aha. Uh-huh. So is that what it's based on, is how many filters are throughout your house? Like, is there a formula?
Well, it is. And it's the square inches of filter is okay. What, yeah. And it changes for what kind of filter you want. So it is a very big topic to try to cover. And it's something we'll be glad to talk to people about. They can call. We'll tell them. But yeah, each filter has a different requirement of square inches. So it depends on the filter you're running and the size of it.
This is good to know. I'm taking so many notes. Thank you for all of this great information. And oh, we do have another question. And this individual asks, I am having a sweating problem and it's even leaking into the ceiling. Most of the insulation has fallen off our flex ducts. Do Ooh. I need to just replace all of the ducts?
Yes, it sounds like once the insulation comes off of flex ducts, you can't wrap it or put it back. So the flex sounds like it definitely needs to be replaced. Have the rest of the duct system checked out. Hopefully it's got a trunk system in it as well, not just flex. Make sure the trunk system is properly insulated so that if you're doing all this, you just do it once. But make sure that it's sealed when it's put back. And that everything is done with new flex, because you can't just wrap that stuff back up. It'll make a mess.
Good to know. And just out of curiosity, is this something that Climatech does?
Yes, sure. Absolutely. Right. Give us a call. We'll be glad. We'll give you an estimate. Won't charge anything for the estimate. Come out and take a look.
Awesome. Okay, so that's something else too. You guys will come out. You'll take mm-hmm. a look, see what's going on, give a good sure. solid diagnosis, hear people what they think the problem is, and then right. tell them what it actually is and
yep.
and see how you can help.
That's right. We'll do free estimates on anything from, you know, replacing duct to replacing systems, anything you need really, we can come out and do a free estimate for.
And you said that you also do commercial. So it's not just homes, it's commercial as well. Mm-hmm. So any limits on those? You work on big giant warehouses and all the way down?
We do pretty much any of the commercial stuff we come across. We actually do some refrigeration. We don't do a lot of that, but we do a lot of restaurant work, you know, rooftop package units, outside air units, anything like that, some schools, anything we need. We're pretty versed on all of it.
Wow. Well, since you grew up doing this, I imagine you've seen all kinds of sizes, shapes, and issues. And
I have.
And
I have.
So if people are wanting to get in touch, again, my name is Ruthie C. I'm speaking with Travis of Climatech, and you can call 850-857-4700, and they'll talk you through and get you set up. And anything else right now that you think people might be needing to know?
No, just we're starting to get ready to go into that heating season. So if you've got any thoughts about that now's a good time before it gets cool to have us come out and check that out for you and make sure everything's ready to go.